There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket, or fighting a mummy, or climbing up the Eiffel Tower, discovering something that doesn't exist, hey, or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots, or locating Frankenstein's brain.
It's over here!
Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane.
Idiot!
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do before school starts this fall.
Come on, Perry!
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making a title sequence!
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
We're all going to party like it's 1999 in these raspberry berets during the purple rainstorm. Anyway, now that I've made you do a spit take.
Yes.
Hey, that's private!
Hello and welcome to episode 71 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going. Today is the 71st day of summer. I'm just going to go with that, folks. And this means it's the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our new cartoon review podcast for 2021. Are we ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym, Michael?
Another roller coaster?
Well, I mean, technically this time we have an escape from a tower and... Then we have a potato gremlins and
cheese. This roller coaster has cheese involved.
I'm allergic. Sorry. I puff up. I'm already fat enough. If I have cheese, just I look like a blob. Imagine the blob from the movie The Blob, except cheese colored and twice as large.
You're going to scare all the cheese festivalists away with that.
I don't know about that.
My unconventional confectionalists.
Some of the songs in today's episodes, folks, I was not a fan. Before we get to that, though, I want to put a spotlight on something.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email with an MP3 clip in it from Joe.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Michael. My name is Joe, and I'm calling in with a message for PAOCA, the podcast organization without a cool acronym. The purpose of this message is to do a little shameless self-promotion, as Doofenshmirtz would say. The self-promotion is for my Tumblr blog, Mysteries of Milo. It is mainly for theories about Phineas and Ferb and Milo Murphy's Law, but on that blog you might also find lists, news... updates, basically anything to do with the Dwompyverse or cartoons in general you might find on that blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope Joe is Joe's real name, because Joe seems to be from Quantum Boogaloo.
How long have I been away? That's strange. Joe's, 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 Joe's.
Hi, Joe!
Hello, Joe!
Pardon me, Joe. You haven't seen my wife, Joe, or my friends, Joe and Joe?
No.
Thanks anyway, Joe.
Why is everyone named Joe?
Why else? So Emperor Doofenshmirtz need not bother remembering names.
And who is...
I've said too much!
Have you, I'm Joe. This is my wife, Joe. Have you met my friends, Joe and Joe?
Hey,
so,
Joe.
So, Joe, I hope you didn't lie to us in the voicemail and say that your name is Joe because you're referencing a Phineas and Ferb episode.
Although but Joe, that would be clever.
Well, it... Not now. Not that I've, outed the guy.
Now that you've called him out.
Exactly.
I'm calling you out. Yeah.
So Joe has this Tumblr blog, and I am not a fan of Tumblr. Not because of anything anybody does on the service. Not because of whatever or anything like that. I'm just not a fan of Tumblr in general. I signed up for it at this point years ago. I don't even remember when. In order to even look at his page, I had to reset my Tumblr password because I haven't logged into Tumblr in at least 2 years or more. Like, the last time I remember doing anything with Tumblr was the end of 2015, beginning of 2016. So that's at least 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's an older service.
It's just not, like, for me in social media, Facebook and Twitter, and to a lesser extent, Instagram. I post some stuff on there now, too. But it's one of those things where I did not sign up for Instagram immediately. Like, literally, I just joined Instagram, I think, in 2019 or 2020. I don't even remember. But
yeah, it was more recent.
The entire time that I've been online, that I've been podcasting, my social media platforms of choice have been Facebook and Twitter. And
Joe wants us to check out his MySpace. It's got a big blinking sign that says under construction. You know?
Under construction, and it has Tom holding a sledgehammer.
It's got music that plays unwarranted.
Yeah, MySpace is no cherry pie.
99 called. They want their blog back.
No, 99 called. They want their balloons back.
I love the balloons. So, anyway. We're getting down the rabbit hole. We got to talk about Joe and Joe's Tumblr, which was clever. I liked it.
Absolutely.
We looked at it, and it was nice.
Yes, it's very interesting. He does some interesting fun stuff over there. So we will play Joe's little unsolicited self-promotion.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll email the guy back and say, hey, here's an ad for the podcast for Pauka. You know, cross-promotion.
Don't forget to link back. Because, then, you know, honestly, anyone who's interested in a Miloverse Tumblr is definitely going to be interested in listening to this. I mean,
well, I would
you don't
so.
Want to miss out on all this.
All the Furban details.
Wildly gesturing all this.
Yeah. All these fat rolls I have that I've amassed over the years. Yes. 40 years of fat right here, folks.
I've named them.
Joe, 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 and Joe, and Joe.
You don't want to have to burden yourself with learning their names, so you just call them all. Joe. Oh my gosh. All right.
So, yes, thank you, Joe.
Back to the present.
And we're on to today's episode of the podcast. Oh boy, we have four cartoons. Well, two cartoons, but four
individual
ones. Yes, four stories here. First up is Escape from Phineas Tower.
Nice to see you boys down here at the shop.
Wow, what's that thing?
Oh, this is an escape chamber from an old vaudeville show. In the old days, men would go into these things and pretend to be locked inside, and then they'd escape to the amazement of the crowd. Here, let me show you. You see, all you need to do is just...
You need a little help, Dad?
No, I just need to... Oh, thank you. There we go. Thanks, son. Well, I've got bottle caps to polish.
Dude, I know what we're gonna do today.
Oh no, I'm late for my introduction to ice sculpture. I suppose there's no need to wake her.
Worthberry.
And the salad fork is the one on the outside.
Then you're certain of that. Agent B, as you may know, this is International Good Manners Day. Perhaps not ironically, Dr. Doofenshmirtz has chosen this very week to create a device that causes rampant rudeness. Go take care of it, if you please.
I bet he calls it the Rudinator.
What does that make you, Nostradamus?
When Phineas and Ferb are inspired by an antique escape chamber that Dad acquires, they decide to build a computer-controlled tower that will trap them inside and allow them to explore the world of escapement. Is that really a world? Anyway,
that's an idea.
Yeah, I know. There's escape rooms and escape whatevers. And
it doesn't seem advisable.
No. They have fun breaking out of all the traps until the tower becomes hit with one of Dr. Doofenshmirtz's inventions and goes beyond what it was programmed to do. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz invents a Rudinator to ruin Roger's meeting with a visiting dignitary from England, the most etiquette-y country ever.
The most etiquette-y. Did they, you know, it was weird. I honestly thought the Queen was coming. And my first thought was, how are they going to get the rights to portray the Queen on Phineas and Ferb? But it turns out it's like the mayor of London or something, question mark.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, it's weird.
See, I don't understand who's visiting from England. I don't understand what the occasion is. At the beginning, they say it's International Good Manners Day. Yeah. And then later they say it's National Etiquette Week. That's what Roger calls it. And I'm just like, what? What?
Yeah, this was not a favorite of mine. I don't know. I wish the tower was a little different.
Well, there you go. It's another day, another giant tower.
Wait a minute. Wait, how did I miss that in the audio? Wow.
What?
Malcolm McDowell is the voice of the tower. I did not even recognize his voice.
You know, he doesn't do the typical Malcolm McDowell voice. It's Chancellor Valorum here. He's trying to do something weird with his voice, and it doesn't sound like him.
Yeah, no. And if it had sounded like him, I would have been like, oh, hey! When's James Earl Jones going to show up and they have Sprint Wars?
Sprint honors Steve's Facebook post on our new network.
I have tickets to the show. Anybody wants them? Message me.
I'll take them.
I said to message me, not post it in the comments. I disregard your request.
Come on, man.
No, follow private message procedures. You went rogue, now look at us, having it out in the comment section.
Dude, you've turned into a monster.
You made me this way.
Well, you know what bothered me, though, is it seemed like they were going for like a HAL 9000 thing here, where you end up with a voice, you know, it's like, I can't let you do that, Dave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly would have rather... I've heard GLaDOS from Portal.
Mm.
Are you familiar with Portal?
No, I know you've talked about it over the years and things like that, and I've seen it, but I've never, no.
Oh, yeah, the GLaDOS voice from Portal is awesome. I mean, it's just like robot, evil robot incarnate here, except she's just so pleasant about it. You know, she's like warming up the neural toxin emitters. Okay. But it was pretty close to, you dummies don't need air, do you? Like,
yeah.
That doesn't sound like Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, no, it does not.
It's weird.
I do like the tower's exchange with Buford. I'm not done with you yet, seals Phineas and Ferb in a dome. Wow, and I thought I had a bad attitude. When Buford realizes that somebody else besides him has a bad attitude, you know this episode has peaked.
We've gone full Buford.
I don't know any other way to go at this point with this episode. I really don't. Like,
well, I mean, the whole episode is locked chambers, ice sculpture class, and a heavy nap.
That's the best part.
That's best part.
That's okay. That's the only reason why this might get a 2 out of me is because Candace was asleep for the whole fucking thing.
It's like this isn't even right. She's not busting anybody. She's, you know, honestly, the funny part, probably my favorite part of the whole episode, is the horrible things they're doing to Candace while she's asleep. I mean, they're doing like every sleeping person prank known to man, and all at the same time. I mean, she's like got shaving cream on her face. Yep. You know, they're putting stuff in between her toes. They're putting her hand in warm water, I'm guessing. It's just I should have like taken time out to count the sleep pranks and name them all off, but I didn't but it was hilarious. And she sleeps through the whole episode.
Yeah, she sleeps through the whole episode. Which, honestly, that might be the only reason I give it a really high bar. Well, I didn't like the rest of it, but I love the fact that Candace is sleeping through the whole thing.
She's asleep and she gets the worst Perry line.
Yep. She gets to work. Asleep. Yeah, while she's asleep.
Oh, what else was good?
The aliens at the end. That was interesting.
You know, I was going to mention that in the end. You know, it's funny. The Malcolm 9000 encases the entire universe, you know, which inadvertently saves the galaxy from invaders. And
right.
It's like Shyamalan goes, twist!
No.
That's a twist ending.
Well, I mean, like, I wasn't expecting it, but I thought it was really funny that they did that. And of course, Major Monogram at one point calls Carl, who are you, Nostradamus? And I'm like, no, he's a Nostradamus. I've been using Nostradamus for years.
For years. In fact, whenever I hear that, I think of you. I wasn't going to write Nostradamus because I knew you were going to say it. Yes. I like it when they ask it, Isabella and Buford and Belshi if they're coming with. Are you coming with? Belshi's like, yeah, no. Sure. He takes a step back.
No, yeah, like, yeah. No.
Isabella's like, yes. I mean, no.
No.
It sounds ill-advised. That's okay. You guys can stay out here and be the cheering section with Candace.
Must pass for Nathan.
Buford's like, that seems ill-advised.
It seems ill-advised. That was my first thought. I don't think you should go in there. If we're not back in 15 minutes, we're dead. Oh, awesome. Well, all right. It's like, break the machine and get us out. It's like, it's a 15-story tall tower. How are we supposed to break the machine? That makes absolutely no sense.
With this rubber mallet that Buford just pulls out of his ass.
Sharpening the mallet, which made...
I know. That was funny.
It was a sight gag that made me giggle. Well,
yeah, I know. But it, like, that was funny.
Yeah, I never saw the Rudinator actually hit the tower.
Nobody ever did.
It's not okay. Shown. I don't even think I saw it fire, but you know, Doof is like waiting for his popcorn. He's, you know, thinking that Roger's already been hit with the Rudinator. I'm like, just based on the description, I'm assuming the tower got hit with the Rudinator.
Yeah, the tower got hit. But here's what I remember from watching it and listening to the audio and whatever else, because at this point, in this point of the recording of the episode of the podcast, behind the scenes here, folks, I watched these episodes that we're talking about tonight. I watched them at like 4 or 5 o'clock this morning. I watched them again to grab the audio because you can't, you know, you just have to sit here and let Audacity record the audio. It's not like you can do anything else. I mean, I can get up and go do something else, but anyway. So what happened was Doofenshmirtz and Perry the cat, a puss.
Yeah.
they're at this demonstration with Roger and his friend, the mayor of England or something or other. And Doofenshmirtz is waiting for them to, you know, he's going to hit the button. He's going to hit the button. It looks like he hits the button. You don't actually see the innator. You don't actually see any ray hit them.
Yeah.
At all. And then they go into their little skit thing.
Yeah.
We don't actually see the ray hit anything at all, even the tower, but it did hit the tower.
You surmise, right? I mean, you know, you just got this evil tower all of a sudden.
Yeah, it wasn't evil before, so it must be evil now.
It was fine, and then it's an evil tower. It's a death trap tower with saws.
How else are you going to make an escape room exciting? I mean, you got to make it evil.
Oh, sure. Why not? It just seems weird that...
Oh, it's very weird.
It never actually gets fired. It's, I mean, he built the thing to cause an international incident. It should have been called an international incident innator.
Only the most etiquette-y country in the whole world, hello! And when Roger is introducing her, I'm going to zap him with my Rudinator! That's what I'm calling it.
I like that name better.
That's something you gotta take up with Doof. Any final thoughts on this one?
The Breaking Out song? I mean, I dig the montage, but the song itself was a little too sha-na-na.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not feeling it at all either.
All right, what's your score?
Oh, boy. This is hard, man.
Not enough.
2.5
Really?
All right. Well.
You know,
it's one of those things where, yes, I love that Candace is asleep because that's the irony of the whole thing, and she doesn't have to worry about busting her brother. She's taking a nap. Mom's off doing her, you know, ice sculpting things with Aunt Tiana or whatever.
Sure.
But the boys, like, what the boys have to go up against is not, they easily overcome it. I mean, the best line Phineas has in the entire episode, okay, dude, stop showing off, when Ferb uses his toes to untie them before they get cut in half by the saw. Like, that's the best line Phineas has about the entire thing. Yeah. And yes, the Doofenshmirtz thing was good-ish, but the rest of it, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I don't know. What about you?
I walked into it thinking that it was going to be better. But I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5, even though there wasn't much going on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In my head, I heard GLaDOS.
And because he keeps mentioning it, folks, we'll put GLaDOS right here. And
here's an interesting fact. You're not breathing real air, but it's too expensive to pump this far down. We just take carbon dioxide out of a room, freshen it up a little, and pump it back in. So you'll be breathing the same room full of air for the rest of your life. I thought that was interesting.
We'll move on to the remains of the platypus after this.
6 hours earlier.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right. We're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the thing they call.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Back to the present.
Doofenshmirtz in his underwear.
I can't believe it. Just moments away from finally achieving full control of the Tri-State area. And I owe it all to you, Harry the Platypus, my trusted butler.
I won! I won!
No! Why didn't you listen? Why?
Quiet, you. I will not let you ruin this moment of pure joy.
George, located.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody, it's Lil Saul in the Breakingham Palace crew.
Poi, 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 and a deedle, deedle, deedle.
This party's gonna be off the hook.
All right. Remains of the platypus. Why is it called that? Craziness has ensued in Danville, and no one has any idea what's going on. The wackiness unfolds when Phineas and Ferb create a cheesetopia. Doofenshmirtz brainwashed Perry into thinking that he's Doof's butler with his butlerinator. Okay.
Do they call it that?
Yes, he does.
Oh my gosh, I didn't hear the word butlerinator.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
And Carl is trapped by Doof while in a squirrel costume because apparently there's a convention for squirrel costume people. Okay, I mean, I know all furry lives matter, but yikes. All is explained in an episode of Phineas and Ferb that starts at the end and works its way back to the beginning. I hate that format.
Oh, I love it.
5 minutes later, 17 minutes earlier, 22 seconds in the past. I hate that format.
This is clever story writing. It really is. And if you've ever seen the movie Memento.
Yeah, It's been years.
Memento, the entire story is told in reverse. This guy has amnesia, and the story is told backwards based on notes that he writes himself or writes to himself on his body.
Okay.
It's really weird, and I mean it's a novel approach. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's not a novel I want to read anytime soon.
Not a novel.
I understand what you're saying. I'm making a joke.
Honestly, it's an older movie, though, at this point. Enough people have seen it that it's been, you know, homaged, let's say, enough where it's not so much new and interesting anymore. But it's new and interesting for a kid's show.
I guess.
Oh. I mean, honestly, Doofenshmirtz starts the episode in his underwear at a rave. Carl is a furry. Or Squirrel Girl, we're not sure.
Squirrel and Boy.
Squirrel.
Come on now.
he's a furry. He could be trans. We don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to get all the furry hate mail.
Well, of course we are.
And there's breakdancing Buckingham Palace guards. It's just the weirdest. It's like, what is going on here? Oh, and Mom is there. And she comes in and says, hey, you dropped this. Not, hey, I saw you hanging off the side of a building, but not, hey, you're in a cage. What can I do? It's, hey, oh, here's your hat. You know, I got to get out of here before the crazy rubs off on me.
Uh-huh.
Are you looking at Memento? Seriously?
No, Seven. I'm not.
All right.
I don't know. It just doesn't.
Really?
It just okay. doesn't.
Let's talk about Cheesetopia.
Yeah, Cheesetopia.
Cheesetopia. You got a. It's an amusement park about cheese. It's Nacho Falls, Mozzarella Bounce, the Cheese 4D ride.
It ain't that Gouda for me.
It's not that. It's got cheese puns. It's like Utopia with cheese. Except without any form of government or social services.
Well, then how are we supposed to afford it?
Tax the rich, baby.
Okay. Bye-bye, Charlene. You don't get any more alimony, Doofenshmirtz.
Perry's Lost Hat song? Or Perry's Lost Hat has its own song?
Yeah, that was...
Like a lullaby?
Yeah, that was interesting.
No more cheese puns? Come on, man.
No, no more cheese puns.
All right. Keep the cheese puns coming, Buford.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine how much fun this would have been to write. Because not only are they like crafting a story in reverse, but they're also including cheese puns. Like 100. Like,
yeah.
He says there's 100. I don't think there was 100.
I don't think there was 100.
There was a lot. Am I provolone in this?
Yes, you are.
yes,
you are.
You know what? I'm all about the dad jokes. And cheese puns are right up there with the pinnacle of dad jokes. Oh, man. Star Wars references?
Of course.
Our always. Shields can't handle a party of that magnitude. Which is my favorite Calamarian line next to, it's a trap.
Oh, that's what it is. Yes, it's a trap.
That's my first favorite. My second is about the magnitude. Anything with magnitude in it is has to relate back to that line.
So, we were asking earlier, why is it called Remains of the Platypus?
Yes, tell me.
According to the infinite wisdom of the awesome people at the Phineas and Ferb Wiki.
Sigh.
Remains of the Day, the title is a pun on the Academy Award winning, Academy Award nominated 1983 drama set in the 1950s England. Said film is told in a series of flashbacks to World War II. So that's where the Remains of the Platypus, Remains of the Day.
I see.
Again, I another died
in this one, and there was like pieces of him. His remains.
That would be a very, very bad Tumblr TikTok crossover.
His remains. Anyway, no, I never saw that one.
I remember hearing about it, but yeah, I never. Oh, not 1983. I'm sorry, 1993. Wow, I am blind and I can't read.
That's fine.
Yeah, 19. Either way. No, it probably doesn't. I mean, 10 years. Well, it was 10 years amongst, you know, Academy nominated movies. But
yeah.
I remember the title of the movie, and I remember kind of seeing the trailer a long ass time ago, almost 20 years ago, 30 years ago. No, it's almost, oh, God, 2023 marks 30 years since. Oh, God, I'm so old.
Friends don't let friends know that 1980 was 40 years ago.
Well, friends that love Transformers do.
40 years ago.
It's not even 40 years yet, because 84 is a few years away. But yeah, it's creeping up there, isn't it?
Getting there.
God, we're old.
Dangerously close. Oh, man, I tell you. So old. Old enough to remember what most of these references mean. So, exactly. Except for that one.
Apparently so.
So I'm confused, though. So Doofenshmirtz turned Perry into a butler, complete with a costume and a memory eraser, so he doesn't know. And he doesn't know he's a secret agent, and he thinks he's a butler. I mean, to me, that's like a really good innator all by itself.
That's a really good innator until Perry goes into the bathroom and writes, "I fight live" on it.
I type live. It's like, what is this? Is this some type of band? Is it a...
Talk about throwing copper.
But he writes it on his chest backwards.
It's well, like, right. Oh, that's funny. You gotta look in the mirror once you get
when he looks in the mirror. Exactly. He looks in the mirror and he sees it. He had the presence of mind to write it backwards. Yeah. But I don't understand what he's doing in the beginning, though. I mean,
I thought he
like took his clothes off because it was hot. Because he had an innator that made it hot? Or I don't understand what's going on. Why is he...
Joe, help us.
What was the explanation there? Why is he naked at a rave with a tiny singing man? And what is the story with Saul? Is Saul like a recurring character? Is he somebody I should remember? Or they just throw him in there for shits and giggles here?
I think it was because the boys built the joy thing or something. And
the celebration seeking robot box.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense. He just said, I'm in joy. And this box shows up and these people come out and they're like, let's dance. You know, except it's like breakdancing. And I don't think I heard him sing or anything.
No.
I thought it was weird. It was just. Yeah. It was surreal. This whole just started off surreal. And then as they tried to explain the surreal going back in time, it just got stranger.
Yep. Yeah. Luckily, I mean, there might be a little, hopefully not, but might be a little music in it, but I'm probably just going to put the Joker right here.
Whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you stranger.
It's a little bit stranger from The Dark Knight at the beginning of the bank scene. But it's like, it just, like, this episode, it took me out of the show. I didn't enjoy this. There's maybe one or two things that I like when he's like, I fight live or whatever it's supposed to, you know, whatever it is backwards. And my first thought was to the classic, you know, alternative grunge band Live, you know, from the 90s with Ed Kowalczyk and all that, and I Alone and Lacani's Juice and Lightning Crashes. And too bad I can't put any of those songs in this podcast. But anyway, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't get it. And I didn't get it.
All right, fair enough.
So here's hoping somebody listening to this, hopefully one of our diehard fans like Joe, we'll listen to this and email us and let us know what the furb we're missing with the remains of the Blackbus.
Here's a question. When you got to the end, did you go back to the beginning?
No, I went to the next episode.
Oh, no. I went back and I watched the beginning again because I'm like, all right, now I know where we've been. Now I have to go back and figure out where we were because it's like I had to put it back. I had to put it in my head chronologically to kind of get it.
When my butler and Aether's finished with you, not only will you have a perfectly tailored uniform and wig, but you will actually think you are my butler. You won't even remember that you fight evil for a living. You won't even remember that you fight evil for a living. You won't even remember that you fight evil.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I watched these episodes 3, maybe 4 times today. Still don't get it. And I still don't fucking get it. I'm sorry. I just don't Furman get it at all. And maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I'm not a fan of this storytelling trope or whatever. But it's just like there's no explanation. Usually, like okay, I know we're gonna be. I mean, I'm not gonna give it a 5. But the next episode we talk about is Ferb Latin. We're not starting that discussion yet, but least there's an, like, they go in front of the news guy. Oh, can you tell everybody what's your new lay? At least they explain why the Atenlay is Ferbulous. I mean, you know, it's explained. There's zero explanation for Remains of the Platypus. So
no, and it just starts crazy. And gets crazier, even though they're trying to explain the crazy, it just gets crazier. To the point where you get to the end and you're like, I don't remember where we started because it was so crazy.
Yeah. And I hate to say this, but this is the first time since 2007 that I never want to watch Phineas and Ferb again after watching this one episode.
Oh, wow. Really?
I still enjoyed the rest of the ones we're going to talk about. I still enjoy all the ones we're still going to do to finish out this podcast. But after I watched this episode today, I'm like, I don't ever want to watch this cartoon again.
That is surprising. See, I was going to give this one a 5 out of 5. Because backwards storytelling, the absurdities upon absurdities, just how strange it gets. And I found it really enjoyable.
I'm pretty sure at some point in the last... Okay, what is this episode? This is day 71 of summer. In the last 70 days or the last 70 years or the last 4 years or however the hell many long, whatever we've been doing this thing.
Yeah.
Called the podcast organization without a cool acronym. I'm sure we've questioned why Lawrence or why Linda doesn't see stuff or doesn't whatever. And I know she only opened the door a crack to give Carl the hat, but... Come on, you're right flipping there. Come on. Like,
come on.
How do you not see your ex night date from 1980 something? Like, how do you not remember that guy?
Like, that's a good question.
Like, really? Seriously? And I swear to God, I still think Doofenshmirtz is Phineas' real father.
Oh, wow.
What are you really going to rate this one? Because I refuse to write down a 5.
Oh, seriously. I like this one a lot. I was entertained beginning to end. In fact, I was so entertained that the next episode that we're going to cover, I was kind of riding that high and then crashed painfully. So how about you? You're going to give it a 0?
I am going to give it a 1.5.
Oof.
It
harsh.
I saw the thing 3 times. I need to never see it again. After 3 times, I still don't understand the damn thing. I think the best part about this was Carl. Even though he was trying to attend a squirrel convention, it was almost as if he was a second secret agent with Agent P, because Agent P was the James Bond butler of the night. But honestly, Carl is the best part of this episode, and that's the best I can give it is 1.5.
Oof, that's sad, because I thought Carl was the worst part of this episode. Like, why is he here aside No, there's no reason for him to be here. I don't understand.
Oh, sure, there's a reason for him to be there.
To add to the absurdity.
There's a reason for him to be there. Because he's the only one that can save Agent P and give him his hat because Major Monogram did a dumbass thing and ate some cheese, which he knows he's allergic to, and he blew up to this blob.
Oh, the congenial cheese giant. Oh, that's funny. I forgot about that. Yeah. Absurdities again on top of absurdities. It just made me giggle. I think it would have been a lot of fun to write.
It probably was.
Okay.
All right. Now
moving right on.
Let's head on to Ferb Latin class.
Goodbye, boys. Have a great day. I'm off to work.
Goodbye, Dad. Have fun buying from auctions and private sales, performing minor refurbishments to the purchased items, marking up the price, and then selling them to your customers.
Aw, Dad sells antiques.
You know, Ferb, it's strange how we wave our hands when we say goodbye. It seems so arbitrary. Why don't people jump up and down or stick out their tongues or slap their thighs? Well, if by that you mean we should create a whole new form of communication, then I couldn't agree more. That was some nice gesturing, Ferb. Do some more. I know what we're going to do, Spatula.
Phineas and Ferb create their own language, Ferb Latin, which quickly catches on. Unfortunately for Candace, she awakes from a massage, puzzled to find everyone else speaking a language she doesn't understand. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz decides to use propaganda as his new innator, believing that it will work since people will believe anything they read.
It's in a very convincing font.
Yeah, and I love this.
Okay.
I think this is hilarious because I think I've mentioned this on this show before. I know I've mentioned this to you off air. I am not a language person. I never took Latin. I never took Spanish. I never took French in school at all. I just never.
Okay.
In elementary school, I would rather go out and play field hockey poorly than take a language course. The only language course I remember taking is one semester of Russian. I can say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Hello, or hi, and goodbye. And that's
das it. Das vidanya.
It's privet, das vidanya. I don't even remember the afternoons at this point anymore. But it's one of those things where I thought this was cool. This was interesting because we, at some point, I assume all children have their own language. Hell, I've seen enough true crime shows where they're like, oh, when this serial killer was a kid, him and his best friend had their own language that they spoke in or whatever. I watch a lot of true crime.
Okay. That's how you know someone's going to lose it and eat people is they have their own language.
I don't know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm using that as an example, though. I'm not saying sure. That's what happens. All but, right. Like, you know, kids have their own language. I'm sure your kids, when they were younger, well, your kids are a little older between the two of them. But, you know, I'm sure at some point Aiden and Gavin had their own thing.
Aiden spoke sign for a couple of years there. That was interesting.
That doesn't – it counts, but it doesn't – like – I'm talking about the make-believe, the pretend stuff, not stuff you can learn in school.
I can't say that they have.
Okay. I'm usually alone in my eccentricities, so, yeah. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, you're going to grow up to be a serial killer, so.
No, but.
I guess my kids are safe. All right. Yeah.
That's not. Oh, God.
Justified my parenting skills.
Oh, Ferb.
Mom, they're doing stuff out there.
What didn't you like about Ferb Latin?
Mom, they're doing stuff out there.
Candace, they're just writing on a whiteboard.
Yes, that's it. They're plotting. And you know what that leads to? Implementing.
Candace, you need to lighten up a little. Take it easy. Do you know what I do to relax?
You eat some pie and then lay down in that old sensory deprivation tank we keep in the basement.
That's right. Would you like to try it?
I'm going to go with no, but thank you.
Well, you should still try to relax.
Mom, I don't need to relax. I need to bust Phineas and Ferb.
You know, I hate their new language. You know, it's pig Latin with farting noises. And you'd think I would love that, you know, mm-hmm. But I just don't. I didn't like it.
Okay, Ferb, let's start implementing.
Hi, guys.
whatcha doing?
Herb Verb Adler.
Oh, creating a whole new form of communication today, are we?
Yeah, what do you think?
Sounds fun. What do you call it?
Verb Latin. Well, you take the first letter of every word, you move it to the end, and then you say herb. So verb becomes herb verb, and Latin becomes Adlerb. Two-letter words stay the same, like or stays or. All the fun of pig Latin, and it's safe for vegetarians to use.
Oh, Phineas, I think your new language is underful, Verb.
By Jove, I think she's got it. But there's also a lot of nonverbal cues. For example, if you want to say okay, you reach for the sky.
Yeah, and when you're hungry, you crack your knuckles. Oh, baby, that's good.
And if you smell something bad, you do jazz hands.
I understood it, but I didn't enjoy it, which is weird. Yeah, I like that Norm is there.
Yep, Norm is here.
I like that Norm is the new innator, you know, because he gets to participate.
Poor Norm. I feel so sorry for Norm.
Well, I feel sorry for him, too, now that I know he has a self-destruct button.
I feel so sorry for Norm. You've always had one.
Always
you
had
see,
that.
You just see his eyes just grow up giant blue, and his face just falls off. And I'm like, oh, Norm.
You're not going to play? All right, fine. Don't play. It's Norm.
Let's hope there's no self-destruct button on this one.
You've always had one, Norm. I just never told you where it was so you wouldn't pick at it. And stop interrupting me.
Well, you don't want him to pick at it.
I don't even want to know where it is just based on that alone.
Well, if prior experience tells you anything, it's probably on the bottom of his foot.
Yeah, but no, it can't be. No, literally, it cannot be on the bottom of Norm's foot, because if it was, he would have self-destructed already. And wait a minute. Are you mean to tell me Heinz builds a new Norm bot every episode? Seriously? No, that's not like, no.
Well, the last time he tried to build a robot army.
Well, yeah, but Norm isn't a robot army. He's not from the second dimension. He's from the first dimension.
But he's an innator now, so he prints propaganda with such a convincing font that you have to do whatever it says.
Hey, as long as the Times New Roman is large enough, I'll do anything that says.
There's so many serifs. I love that. Some Norm crashes through a wall, and Toof looks at Perry and says, "He gets that from you, you know."
I know, that's so hilarious. That's why I love this episode.
Well, I don't know. So for me, it goes back to the language, you know, and I don't like the language. And then they start singing about the language that I don't like, and I don't understand the left shoe thing. You know, if you get a call,
I don't
you have all these damn left shoes.
Yeah, I don't understand some of the nonverbal cues, but the language itself. Oh, I understood that.
It's pig Latin. It's
but it's
the most pig ignorant Latin. Foreign language ever.
It's pig Latin for vegans, is what it is.
It's a foreign language for people who can't speak a foreign language, but still want the superiority of speaking a foreign language.
I'm still going to give it a 4 out of 5, most likely. I mean, it's flipping Norm.
No. I wasn't pleased with it. The best part of this is when Candace comes out of her coma and she's the only person left who doesn't speak the language. And she's running around and she's like, "What year is this?" She thinks she's been out for like 20 years and society has left her behind. Yeah. And the language has changed and the signs have changed and she's like a stranger in a strange land.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was funny. That was a clever.
And it was even funnier at the end when she goes to everybody and everybody's back to normal and the dude's like, "Not after all the jazz hands." Who knew he? Why is that guy so upset about jazz hands?
The jazz hands. The not verbal cues that just don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. The multi serifed font falling out of the sky that says, "Talk normal." Sure, I'm gonna do that now. News crews that just randomly grab people off the street and say, "Tell me about this thing." It's just I didn't like it.
Well, not much happens in Den. I mean, you know, you're not having murders on every Denville block. I mean, they got to be hunting.
Something happens to Roger every other episode. So, I mean, there's that.
True.
Just not this episode.
No, apparently not.
I was going to give it 2 out of 5 for not being as good as the last episode.
Uh-huh.
Not even Norm getting a haircut could save this one.
I'm still giving it a 4 because Norm is the saving grace for me in this one.
Yeah, and you're amused by Pig Latin, which I am not.
It's Ferb Latin.
Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever, I am man.
Like 1%, though, so it's like, Pig Latin just bothers me. I don't like it.
I must have fallen asleep. Wow, and I relaxed. I wonder how long I was out. Excuse me, do you have the time?
Etherb anti-twerb.
What?
Etherb anti-twerb.
My ears must be over-relaxed.
Ooderb, ooyerb, abherb, any ibling serb?
Yes, yerb, I abherb, a ister serb.
Own your mother's burb?
What? Ain merb? Eat sterb?
Use excurb, emerb?
Excuse me?
Public perb, estrum rerb.
I'm sorry, I no speak herb, your langwerb.
Escurb, anserb? I else merb?
What is happening here? All I did was go like... What is this? I am losing it.
And how did this latest cultural craze get started? We talked to the creators.
This whole town has gone crazy.
We are moving on to the Latka party.
Thanks for helping me set up for the Latka festival this year, guys. It'll really go a long way toward helping me get that Golden Years assistant patch.
Time, Anna Shapiro. Can't wait for the latkes, darling. Nobody's had a bite to eat all day.
We can start cooking as soon as Belsheet gets back with the potatoes.
No, you cannot! We looked all over the place, but there are no potatoes in the entire tri-state area.
And I'm down to my last potato chip. Better make this bad boy last.
What am I going to do? Have you ever seen Senior Citizens Riot? It's like a slow gray tornado of canes and false teeth.
Buford, let me see that potato chip. Ferb, I know what we're going to do today. We're going to use the DNA in this potato chip to clone our own potatoes. Hey, where's Terry?
Is that the actual pronunciation? Latkes? Is it Latkes?
It's Latkes is what they say in the episodes, in the episode, as okay. far as I know. I don't know. I'm just happy that there are potato gremlins. And there's no gizmo.
Well, that was weird, you know, because they got these potato gremlins and they're treating them to a spa and they're not multiplying.
Yeah, you'd think.
That's what I thought. Or at least boiled alive, you know, put them in. They're like, oh, yeah. You know, I thought that would be awesome. But, oh, they're enjoying themselves.
Yes.
We want lattes! We want lattes! That's my mouth!
I don't have to put up with this. I'm part of the greatest generation.
Buford, what are we going to do? Phineas wants us to stall. We gotta think of something.
Wait a minute. I got an idea.
Hello, folks! I'm Mr. Shark! Hey! Who turned out the lights? Thanks! You stink! Well, that wasn't very nice!
Technically, we are socks.
Hey, Mr. The Sock! What are you doing here?
Just looking.
For what?
My soulmate.
You both stink!
All right, up last today is Latza Latkes. When all the potatoes in Danville go missing, Phineas and Ferb decide to clone some using Buford's last potato chip. So that's Isabella's Nana can make latkes for the Latka Festival at Danville Senior Lodge. Unfortunately, Buford's DNA also merges with the potatoes, creating mischievous potato gremlins all over town. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz's plans on using his latest innator, a potato-powered historical army retrievenator, to summon the Spartan army and command them to take over the tri-state area. I know I've said this a lot in the last 70 days. This has got to be one of his worst plans ever.
I think it's a poorly constructed plan, but the idea of an innator that can reach back in time and grab people and bring them forward seems like an awesome idea. The potential there is great.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's what the time machine was for, though, from Quantum Boogaloo.
Yeah, this isn't expressly billed as a time machine, though, but it kind of is.
True, no. It kind of is.
It kind of is. I mean, honestly, if he had picked... if he had gone back and snatched a group of British soldiers from World War One and brought them forward, he would have spoken the language. He could have convinced them that he was much more powerful and a figure from the future than what he really is, and he could have used them in any number of ways. And just because he's Doofenshmirtz, you know, he picks. I don't think he picked Mongols on purpose. He picked somebody else.
Spartans.
Oh my gosh. And he's dressed like Leonidas. But you know, which we don't need to see. But but yeah, you know, he's picking this you know, they're undoubtedly good fighters from the past, but they don't understand the language and they don't share the culture, and they're not going to do his bidding as he expects them to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, poorly executed, but a really good idea.
Yeah. Phidias has the one of the best lines of this episode. I think the DNA in Buford's saliva combined with the potato DNA to create some sort of Buford potato hybrid. Let's get out of here.
It's like a Buford potato brundle fly.
Mm-hmm.
From The Fly. You've seen that one, right?
Yes, long time
ago. Okay, good. So the nice part about it is that they harvest themselves.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy. No, it's dumb. And what's dumb about it is if you're going to clone a potato, why not just dump it into a basket? Why would you zap it into the ground? Worst case scenario, you have to then harvest it and then wash it and whatever else you do to potatoes before you eat them. You know, when they come out of the ground. And if you just created a potato like the ones you see in the supermarket in a burlap sack, just zap them right in there. I think that would be the smart way to go about it. But instead for dramatic effect, we get potato gremlins dragging themselves out of the soil.
Yeah.
I love the idea of potato gremlins. It's just
I love how the potato gremlins and the Mongol army react to each other. That was hilarious. It was so good. They're like ready to fight, like back at Nerds of a Feather, and then all of a sudden the Mongols are like, "Ooh, French fries!"
Exactly. They don't speak the language, but they know what French fries are.
Well, they're hungry. I mean, and they've been in this time for a little while. I don't know. Anyway.
They've been here 15 minutes, and they know what French fries are. They're like totally going to eat those. Honestly, you could, if you were hungry enough, you could just eat the potato raw. You don't necessarily. Well, yeah, semi-sentient potato, you could chew that up pretty quickly.
No, you can't, because if that happens, and then the next thing you know, you're going to end up in Spaceballs.
What? And,
if you eat the sentient potato gremlin, it's going to go down in your stomach, it's going to boil in your stomach, and then it's going to rip out of your stomach and start singing stuff.
You're going to end up like John Hurt.
Yeah.
No. Again.
Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to end up like John Hurt.
No.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
You leave Michigan J. Frog out of this.
That's what Spaceballs. That's what the alien sings when he jumps out.
I know.
He's singing. It's crazy. Speaking of singing.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the Buford Bell seat number.
God. The reason why. What?
Well, I didn't. You know what's funny? It started off bad, and then it stopped, and I'm like, "Oh God, thank you." And then they did like another scene, and then they came back to it, and they sang some more. And then they did another scene, and then they came back to it, and they sang some more. And as it went on, I liked it a little more, and I liked it a little more. And finally, I'm like, okay, this is enjoyable. But at first, I just didn't like it. The old people liked it. They're like, crazy. Oh, the floor show was fantastic. But I was like, I don't know, man.
I think we have to take it up a notch.
We look good in hats, long tails and spats. When we hit the town together, baby, we know where it's at.
You're a pluralizing at?
Work with me, brain boy.
If I were dangling from a ledge, it'd surely save me with a wedgie.
I'm smart, perhaps a bit refined,
and I'm a bit more edgy.
Cause we're frenemies, we like disliking one another. Yes, we're frenemies, he's like my least favorite brother.
I like complex calculations.
I like physical confrontations.
We both have our roles, this is a symbiotic relationship. Cause we're frenemies, we like disliking one another. Yes, we're frenemies, he's like my least favorite brother. You and I, we're not enemies or friends, we're just frenemies to the end.
They had me at sock puppets, man, come on. Seriously, the only
suck. But what did she say? She didn't say you suck. She said you stink.
You stink. But I
instinctively heard it as you suck.
But seriously, there are two things in this that make me give it the rating I'm going to give it. Okay. The potato gremlins and how they react to things and then whatever, and the song. Like, this is the first time that I've heard Buford and Baljeet do a song together.
Right, yeah.
That I've absolutely loved because it fully explains their relation.
Kind of dynamic, yeah.
Well, like, the only problem I had with the song was where they couldn't rhyme relationship. That was the only problem with the song, but they made it work. They recovered from it, and it was cool. This gets a 5.
Yeah. I want to know what happened to the Maid of Goldenator.
Don't we all?
Harry probably pushed off the side of the building without a thought, you know?
Probably.
Yeah, like gold. It was my entire month alimony. Hate you.
You know, Doofenshmirtz really needs to invest in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. So my wife is like, should we invest in the Bitcoin? I'm like, I don't know. isn't it like a 10-year ago thing? I don't think it's doing that well now. I'm not sure.
Apparently it's had peaks and valleys.
Something like that.
The only so now I, I'm creating
more work for myself. This.
No. I'm creating more work for myself. So now that I'm mentioning this and I'm bringing this up, it's more of a, oh my God, this happened now thing. So now I have to release episodes 68, 69, 70, all within the next like 4 days. So I can release episode 71, this episode, because I just listened to the most recent Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads with my buddy Mike Laidman and his buddy Chris Blonsky. Oh. And at one point they're talking about Bitcoin. And I even tweeted at them. I'm like, is Bitcoin still a thing? And they're like, oh yeah, it very much is still a thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. Sure.
Sure. Whatever you say.
I guess. I don't know.
Are we going to mention the fact that Candace is suffering from depression and can't get herself off the chair? She's just like, no, I can't. Felt bad for her. I really, you know, I'm like, she needs to get on the meds.
I mean,
it's nothing a nice bike ride won't solve, but you know, still.
Yeah. Oh, then no, it wasn't this episode. It was the last episode. I forgot to mention.
What's that?
The dual parenting deprivation tank. What? Like, I always expect Linda to be in the sensory deprivation tank because that's her thing, apparently.
Yeah.
I was not expecting Lawrence to be in the sensory deprivation tank with her.
I didn't get the impression he was in there with her.
Oh, he was, because he asks her to get him something.
Oh, I just assumed he was upstairs.
No. I think he was in there. I'm pretty sure he was in there, and I'll probably have to look it up offline, but it's one of those things where I'm pretty sure, because he's like, when you come back, could you rip me some pie or something?
You don't eat pie in the sensory deprivation tank.
There's a lot of things you shouldn't do in a sensory deprivation tank, hence why your senses are supposed to be deprived. Yet apparently these parents are reproducing in a sensory deprivation
tank. You're just swimming in Lawrence soup at that point. Get out of there.
Stop it. You're creeping me out, man.
That's terrible. Oh, so the ending shot. This was funny. This legend tells of an epic battle between Mongol army and potato gremlin creatures, while a pharmacist from the future worked in vain to return to his time, crying out, "Curse you, bury the platypus."
I swear, I went to school for this stuff.
This is what I got my degree in.
Exactly.
I just thought that was funny. That was a nice cutaway at the end.
I was wondering how they were going to end it because of what happened. And I'm like, really? That's the way they're ending it? Okay, yeah. Cool. It's interesting. It's not bad. I don't dislike the
He gets zapped into the past. I mean.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, hello. That's what happens when you hang out with Mongols.
And potato gremlins.
Well, I mean, the potato gremlins are Bufa's children at this point, so, you know.
No, they're like clones.
Well, I mean, they're smaller than everybody else, so I figure they're his kids.
Ew. Anyway. Yeah. So, 3 out of 5 for gremlins references. I could have done with more gremlins. I mean, I liked how the town was, you know, they're dancing around the town and destroying things.
Right.
I think I could have done for what, like a theater homage where they're all in they capture them all in a theater or something, or, you know, I don't know, something more gremlinsy. I would have been okay with that. Flirting with a cease and desist order, right?
Probably, yeah. All right, like I said, I'm going to give it a 5 because between the song and between the awesomeness of the potato gremlins, even though they come from Buford, I really dug this. I thought it was funny. And it's not often you see I was going to call her Elizabeth. Ooh, no. Isabella. It's not often you see, I mean, we've seen her in the past, but it's not often you see Isabella's Nana. You're usually seeing Jeremy's Nana or the grandparents of the boys and Candace, that kind of thing. So it was kind of nice.
I think we've met her mom once or twice, but not.
Yeah, met her mom once or twice, but I don't. Oh God, now you got me curious.
Now you got to go look it up. All right, I'll just close out the show while you look at the wiki.
Well, we're just going to take a quick ad break, and we'll come back after this. Idiot.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes fun is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure thing, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
So, the entire galaxy, that enough elbow room for ya?
Well, for today.
We are back. Shortest ad break ever. Lots of Latkes was her first appearance.
Oh, see now? There we go. Yeah.
And
I was surprised it wasn't her mom. They could have gone with her mom and it would have been fine.
Her mom's annoying at times. I like that they went with a Nana. Because it's the old folks' home. I mean, that's the whole point of the episode. They're at the old folks.
Her mom is a Hispanic, though, isn't she? It's the dad who's Jewish.
Yeah.
All right, I stand corrected. Never mind.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Look at you.
On her dad's side.
That's right. She's also in Phineas and Ferb Family Christmas, which is next week, not next week, but episode 72's cartoon. Ooh. She's also in Operation Crumb Cake, and obviously she's in the spectacular episode Act Your Age, which probably should have been the series finale, but whatever.
Well, looking forward to it.
Yes, absolutely. We are going to get the heck out of here because I think I've butchered this episode enough like I do all my other podcasts because nobody wants to listen to me record a podcast or edit a podcast or
Joe publish wants to hear you. Joe
You got a good blog there, Joe. Next time, talk more about us, please.
It's not all about you.
Actually, it is. Thank you for joining us here on Falco. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Please leave us comments on the website posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Leave actual feedback and tell us how I suck. Michael is awesome.
You suck.
Yeah, I know. Follow us on Twitter at TFG and Mike is my Twitter. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio. What is your Twitter, sir?
Pecan CT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb, which is Phineas and Ferb's Family Christmas Special. And we might actually even do a rehash of Swinter. Because apparently, on all rewatches or all rebroadcasts of Phineas and Ferb Family Christmas Special, it is paired with Swinter.
Hmm. Okay. I like the Swinter song.
Me too.
Yeah.
I kind of prefer Warmer.
Clever. Sorry.
For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Spatula.
But wait, there's more.
Challenge. Yeah. I'm like.
Challenge.
Challenge.
It's very French.
Yeah. It's very French.
We shall twirl our mustaches now.
Go away or I shall taunt you a second time.
I am a French tantor.
You are so Austin Burb.
What is it, Candace? No, I don't know what Ferb Latin is. Give me 15 minutes.
Dear, as long as you're getting up, could you get me some more pie?
Oh, no, wait a minute. I am a French tauntaun.
I will freeze by the first marker. I will see you in hell.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And scene.